Some who are here may remember a news story from last year. It was a story involving the Indiana State Fair. Last August, there was a stage rigging that fell and 7 people died. If you've watched the news, you may have seen that a report was issued about this incident, and in the report, it was said that there was plain indifference, and that's a quote. There was plain indifference to safety standards, and this was a huge factor in the fall of this outdoor stage rigging. People lost their lives a little less than a year ago because some were indifferent about safety. When we think about the word indifference, we find that it is a word that means things like not caring or not really caring. Indifference means that people sometimes have an attitude which we might describe as the take it or leave it attitude. The 2011 State Fair is long gone, but in our world we still find that people have a lot of indifference in our world. We, as we look at our day and time, find that politicians are gearing up for another election. And some of us may have heard the claim, and there is, I think, some truth to this claim, that as we look at a new generation of politicians, there is no longer an interest in some of the old moral issues. Those who are seeking elected office have already started to warn us that people are no longer concerned about them, some things like people were in the past. Some of the things that those in the current election cycle are suggesting: abortion. That was a big thing for a lot of people in the past, but that is no longer really an issue for a lot of people. Homosexuality, a concern maybe about people in the past generation or two, but now no longer an issue. Divorce, other moral issues such as gambling. Oh, sure, our parents, our grandparents may have cared about those things, but now people in the minds of those seeking office think that these items are really a matter of indifference. If we look at history, we find that people have often been indifferent about spiritual things and righteousness. In fact, we do not have to go back too many years to find in our country there was great concern over the possibility of electing a Catholic president. We had people in the nation, some of whom were our brethren, who asked the question, if we have a Catholic become president, will he follow the Pope or will he follow the laws of the United States if there is a conflict? Well, things, as we look back over the last generation or two, have changed. And they've not changed a little, they've changed a lot, especially when it comes to the spiritual part of life. As we see the indifference that reigns supreme in our world, we should not be surprised, because the problem of indifference is a long-standing problem. When we think about Noah, we may not realize it, but there are more than 60 passages in the Bible that talk about Noah. Some of the passages that talk about Noah, and we're going to start with Matthew 6 today and then turn over to Matthew 24. Some of the passages that talk about Noah describe the indifference that existed in his day and time. In the verses that lead up to Genesis 6, verse 13, we are offered some insight about Noah's character. In Genesis 6, verse 8, the Bible says that Noah was a man who found favor in God's sight. In Genesis 6, 9, the text tells us he was a righteous man. He was a perfect man who walked with God. Then in contrast to Noah, we have this information in Genesis 6, verse 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God is described as looking at the ancient world and seeing great wickedness. There was crime, there was sin, there was immorality. These things reigned supreme. People were so indifferent to God that they had cast off virtually all restraint. God was the last thing on the minds of these ancients. This information is also dealt with in Matthew 24. In a moment, we're going to read Matthew 24, verse 38. And Jesus' use of Noah in his day and time is really an amazing fact. When we think about who Jesus was and is, he was in his deity. Being God in the flesh, he had a full view of history. When it came time for Jesus to present lessons, he was able, with his deity, to go back and look throughout all history for sermon illustrations or Bible class illustrations. And Jesus, out of the thousands of illustrations that he could have chosen from, he decided in Matthew 24, verse 38, to go back to the time of Noah. And here's what he said in verse 38 of Matthew 24. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until that day that Noah entered into the ark. Today we find cases where people are warned about something, but in spite of that warning, people have an attitude of indifference. Well, this is precisely what happened in the time of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He was warning people, there is a right way to live, there is a wrong way to live. And if you live in the wrong way, you are going to perish. But in spite of those warnings, Noah's contemporaries were indifferent to his preaching, and they continued on with their daily lives as if all was okay. The indifference, though, in Noah's day was not indifference concerning all things. When it came to things like weddings, Matthew 24, verse 38 suggests that the people in Noah's day, they were paying attention to those things just like people today. You know, as I deal with people, one of the things that has always kind of fascinated me is being involved in some way with the wedding. I found over the years that when people plan a wedding, it is generally planned down to the last, to the minutest detail. We may have a building such as this one, where we have multiple aisles. You can count them up. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 aisles that a bride could come down and get to the front of the building. But there are cases where if a church building does not have a center aisle, the couple will say, "We're not getting married there." Plenty of aisles to use, but if there is not a center aisle, if I can't walk straight down, I will not use that particular facility. An aisle is not always an aisle when it comes to weddings. Or we think about some other things. If there is no problem with the aisle, sometimes there'll be a small problem with the food or the flowers or maybe a small item with the clothing. And when it comes to a wedding, those small things, people are not indifferent to them. Most of us, I think, are familiar with the word bridezilla. I went back and looked at that particular term this week. We see that popping up from time to time. And from what I can tell, a bridezilla, that term was adopted from the 1954 Japanese movie that featured Godzilla. And then they had some ladies that were not nice brides and just came up with that term bridezilla. When it comes to a wedding where something is off slightly, people are not indifferent to that. We hear about people purchasing a product. Maybe it comes through the mail, maybe they pick it up in the store, and there's a small scratch, there's a small dent, there's some small defect, and people get bent out of shape. They are not indifferent to those things. But when it comes to the spiritual matters in life, then oftentimes that's where we find indifference. People, when it comes to things that involve heaven and hell, it's kind of, well, I really don't care. I'll shrug my shoulders and have a casual attitude. Many times with God, there is almost the take it or leave it attitude. That's not new. Noah experienced that. Jesus in his life experienced that. And we in our lives are going to see this same kind of indifference in our world. This attitude seems to be one that will never be far away. This attitude is such a problem that Jesus in his earthly life offered some teachings that help combat it. We think about some of the well-known passages, Matthew 6, verse 33. Jesus said, "Seek the kingdom of God." And then he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." When he said, "Take up our cross and do that daily," he was warning about things like indifference. When he told of the merchant who sold all that he had so he could obtain that one precious pearl, he was warning us about indifference. I hope to explore the subject of indifference from different vantage points in the coming weeks. But today we want to think about this topic from three standpoints. Number one, which we've already pointed out, this was a terrible problem in Noah's day. It was a problem in Jesus' day, and it is still a problem today. It is not a new issue. Secondly, when we think about indifference, God's people, Christians, can fall into this trap. We're going to spend a little time now in the book of Hebrews. If you want to turn over there, we're going to start with Hebrews 2 and then pick up some other passages from this book. As we think about the Hebrew writer in the second chapter, he talks about Christians who were tempted to become indifferent. In fact, he uses the word drifting in the second chapter. When we think about people becoming indifferent, they generally do not fall into that trap or experience that indifference immediately, overnight. The world in Noah's day certainly did not drift into indifference and sin overnight. It took some time to develop. When we think about indifference and drifting into it, it can start in a variety of ways. Sometimes a person will become discouraged. Something happens in life and it is a very negative experience and leaves that person, in this case a Christian, feeling pretty low. And that single act of discouragement, that single instance of discouragement, can have a weakening effect on that person's belief or faith or commitment. And as a little more time continues to progress, some additional things happen. And those additional things compound what's taking place in the life, and then one day, that person wakes up and they find that they have become indifferent to Christ and his gospel. The devil has finally fully reached that person and one another soul for his cause. So in Hebrews 2, verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, "Wake up, pay attention, listen carefully, because you are in danger of drifting. And if you don't wake up, if you don't come out of your spiritual slumber, you are going to be spiritually indifferent and you are going to be lost." In the third verse of this chapter, he uses the word neglect, once again associated with the idea of indifference. Neglecting things can be a problem sometimes, but especially neglect in the spiritual realm. We need to stop and remember that Satan does not always want or require a Christian to openly renounce his faith in God. If we have a situation where a Christian decides, well, hey, I'm just going to take my Christian life, and I'm going to sort of stick that on the back shelf in that dark closet, and I'll be okay. The devil's happy with that. The devil's pleased with that. If the devil can get a Christian to the point where he or she is indifferent, the devil has won. God expects us, Hebrews 3, verse 1 in the next chapter, to be a partaker of the heavenly calling. We cannot truly partake or participate or be associated with the Christian life if we are indifferent to it. And then after making this statement, the writer turns to Hebrews 3, verse 14, and says, "For we are become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast from the beginning our confidence firm unto the end." An indifferent person is someone who does not hold fast, have a good grip on the things that they committed to when they became a Christian. God says if we want to be one of his people, if we want to live a Christian life that is pleasing to him, we've got to get on board with the program and we've got to stay on course. Indifference is such a big issue or a serious problem that he picks up with the point in Hebrews 4 verse 1. "Let us fear, therefore, lest haply a promise being left of entering into his rest, that any one of you should indeed come short of it." Can we come short of God's rest? Can we fall short? Can we get off course and miss the boat? The Hebrew writer says yes. The nation of Israel, Hebrews 4:2, heard the word of God. They knew what was right, but they were not very responsive. In many respects, Israel, as it went through various experiences, got to a point where it was indifferent to God. We as God's people today can fall into this same trap, this same error. We can hear the truth, and we can know the truth, and we can even be supportive of the truth. But if we hear that truth and know the truth and are supportive of the truth, but we're not doing anything with it, our knowledge is of no eternal value. Then in Hebrews 4, verse 11, we find these additional words. "Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall after the same example of disobedience." If we let indifference rule our lives, and some do make that choice, then as we continue to read in the Hebrew letter, Hebrews 6, verse 6, turning there now, there is going to be an excellent chance that we fall away. And if we make that choice, if we end up there, we're going to be lost. The 12th verse in Hebrews 6 continues this exhortation, and it uses a word that we don't often hear today. Hebrews 6, verse 12. "That ye be not sluggish," there's the word, "but imitators of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise." The word sluggish is a term that we don't use very often, but God says, hey, pay attention to this word. This is an important word to know. When we think about the word sluggish, we may have a car that's sluggish in the winter months. It just doesn't go very well. Or we look at a nation and we say the economy is sluggish. Some of us have had a sluggish computer. It just seems to just never work right. Or maybe we've had a sluggish internet connection. Sluggish means that something is slow moving. It is inactive. There is a lack of energy. God says to his people, you can become sluggish. You can get to a point where you are spiritually indifferent. And if you fall into this category, this is a very serious issue. This is a situation where you are putting your soul on the line. And we're not going to fare very well when we come to God. Do we remember how, and especially in the Sunday morning class, this should be somewhat familiar to you, in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, John was writing to some congregations. We're probably very familiar with Revelation 3, verse 16. There were some Christians who had gotten to the point where they'd become indifferent. They had a sluggish faith. They were not hot. They were not cold. They just kind of, sort of went through the motions a little bit. And John said, clean it up, fix it up, get it right, or the Lord is going to spew you out of his mouth. If we are allowing ourselves to be sluggish, if we're allowing ourselves to become indifferent when it comes to the Christian life, that is a problem to be recognized and addressed. It's an issue to be fixed. John makes this point very well in Revelation 2 and 3 with the word repent. He's writing to seven congregations, and at least four of these congregations, as John writes to them, are addressed in one way or another with the word repent. Let's take a look at it. Revelation 2, verse 16. Here John has some things to say to the congregation at Pergamum. "Repent therefore, else I come to thee quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth." John says to this congregation, you need to repent. You're headed in the wrong direction. Thyatira. Verses 21 and 22 of this same chapter. And I gave her time that she should repent, that she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into the great tribulation, except they repent of her works. Two times, John says to this congregation, you become indifferent to what's right. You need to go back and change things. And then in Revelation chapter 3, verse 3, he said, remember therefore how thou hast received and didst hear, and keep it and repent. You've got to go back and do the things that are right. Many in our world may be indifferent until the Lord comes. And that's sometimes true in the church. But again and again, John shows that that's not the right course. Revelation 3, verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and didst hear, and keep it and repent. I read that one. Verse 19 is the other one that I wanted to look at. As many as I love, I reprove and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You know, we should be saddened as we see indifference in the world, and especially indifference in the church. But we should not be surprised by it. Indifference has always existed with God's people and in the world. But in today's world where indifference seems to reign supreme, and we don't have to look very far to find indifference in our world. We see it on every level of our society. As we see that indifference, we have to look at our lives and our minds and decide what we're going to do. A long time ago, a man by the name of Joshua said, as for me and for my household, this is the choice that we're going to make. Joshua and his household decided that they were not going to be indifferent to spiritual things. And that needs to be our attitude as we go through life. For me and for my household, we will not be indifferent to God and his work, spiritual things. When there is an opportunity to worship, we're not going to be indifferent to that. We're going to make full use of those opportunities. When it comes to knowing and obeying God's word, we have a choice. Indifference or full acceptance and obedience in that area. We choose, if we're going to head in the right way, we choose not to be indifferent when it comes to applying the Christian teachings in our homes. We choose to refuse to be indifferent to applying the Bible, the principles that we find in the Bible in the workplace, in school, wherever we are. We choose, if we're a Christian, to refuse indifference every waking day of every day that God allows us to live. If the Lord were to return today, and he were to judge us on just one thing, were we indifferent when it came to the Christian life? Or did we say we're not going to be indifferent as we went through our life? What would the verdict be? Would God say, yes, you were on the side of being indifferent, or no, this was something that you diligently sought to avoid as you went through life? We may have come here this morning, only we know, but we may have come here this morning with really an indifferent attitude concerning God and spiritual things. Only you and God know that. But as you leave, we have the choice. If we've come here with indifference, we can leave with spiritual indifference. If we've come here with an indifferent attitude, we can come and say, I'm not going home that way. The choice is ours. And we'll know that choice. God will know that choice. But we choose in life, indifferent or not indifferent. What's been our choice up to this time? What's our choice right now? Indifferent to God, or saying, well, that's the wrong choice, God. I know that's not correct. And I refuse to be indifferent in my Christian life. It is one of the most important questions we're going to ask. It's going to be in part the basis for what we decide concerning the Christian life. Well, if a person has not believed and repented and confessed and been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of his sins, in some respects there's spiritual indifference. There's some kind of barrier there. Maybe a person's working through some things, but still they've not done what the Bible requires. This morning, if you are in that category where there's some things that you still need to do, maybe you believe, maybe you're working on repentance, maybe you're close to confession, maybe you're ready to be baptized, this morning, leave that camp and come over and say, we want to do what's right. If you become a Christian and for whatever reason you become indifferent in your Christian life, there will never be a better opportunity or time to change than now. If we can help you with the problem of indifference or something else, we let us know as we stand and sing the selected song.
Jesus whispers to you, come, sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come, sinner, come.
Now is the time to own him, come, sinner, come. Now is the time to know him, come, sinner, come. Are you too heavy laden, come? Come, Jesus will bear your burden, come, sinner, come. Jesus will not deceive you, come, sinner, come. Jesus will now redeem you, come, sinner, come. Oh, hear his tender pleading, come, sinner, come. Come and receive the blessing, come, sinner, come. While Jesus whispers to you, come, sinner, come. While we are praying for you, come, sinner, come.
Receive, please.